if you were from my generation and you saw this word, the first thing that would come to mind is finances in my generation. If somebody told you, I'd like to help you out, but I'm broke. I'd give you something, but I'm broke. I see you're going through a difficult time, but I'm broke. The term suggests not that I don't have anything, but I've gotten down so low that I can't share. I don't feel as if I'm able to give you because it's going to take away from me. I want to say to you this morning, that's not what I'm going to be preaching about. But I want to preach to you about broken pieces. If you were in the Bible study with us for the last quarter under Sister Georgia, you would know that the climax of Paul's journey in Asia Minor, in Greece, and on to Rome was at this point where it just seems like all of his life was breaking up. I would suggest that there's probably somebody here this morning. I know you look like you don't have a problem in the world, but there may be one person who feels as if everything around me is breaking up and all I have is just pieces. Can I get a witness? And so the question is, how do you make it? Because if people get there, how many, first of all, how many have been there before where it just seems like I thought I had it all together? I thought that after this came, everything was going to be fine, but yet all I have is pieces. I got piece of a marriage. I've got pieces in finances. I've got my church feels like it's broken into pieces. Can I get a witness here? I thought I would have been further than where I am right now, but I'm here in this brokenness, and it's real. And especially young people, let me tell you that as parents, oftentimes we try to keep you from the brokenness of life. And we keep smiling in order to make you think everything is whole and everything is healthy, when really there are some times when we're scared because of the brokenness of our situation. So the question I want to pose to you this morning is, how do you make it on broken pieces? Now, if you came here this morning and you don't have any problems, you don't have any issues, you have never had an issue, this sermon probably is not for you. But for those of us who have ever experienced the crumbs of life, the brokenness of life, the pieces, this word's for you. And it comes straight out of the Bible study. So I want to thank you that Sister Georgia. Acts 27, 25 through 44. It was all I could do to keep from preaching this in our Bible study class today. Paul is on a ship and he's a prisoner. And he's in a storm. He's on the way somewhere. He's on the way to Rome to speak to Caesar, to give his testimony. But they run into a storm, and the boat that they're on looks like it's going to break up. And so it says in Acts 27:41, but the ship struck a sandbar. A sandbar, usually sailors would drop an anchor to find out how deep the water was, 120 feet, 90 feet. But sometimes you couldn't see the land, and there was a sandbar there, which you did not want to hit because that means that the ship would be grounded before you got to wherever it was that you were going. So they stuck fast to this sandbar, and it would not move. And the stern was broken to pieces. That's the back part. The bow is the front part. Was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. How do you make it? I hear the preacher saying that it's not going to be good all the time. Things are not going to be looking like they're 100% all the time, but that there's going to be some time when I'm going to personally experience brokenness. God forbid that it's in your marriage. God forbid that it's in your career. But I think any one of us who have lived here any amount of time, we can say to you, this may come, but God's got an answer for how to make it. I can't keep it from coming. I can't tell you you can pray this away and it won't hit you. I can't tell you, all you got to do is say, Lord, miraculously make the storm leave. I can't tell you that, but I can tell you this, God will make a way for you, even through the storm, and if all you have is a bunch of broken pieces. So just three truths from this story, three truths. The first one is, don't jump ship. Stay with the ship. Stay with the ship. The very first verses in 25, it says, and this is Paul speaking, he says, so keep up your courage, men. He's talking to the sailors. He's talking to the prisoners. He's talking to the soldiers that are on this boat. He's saying, keep up your courage. And you have to remember, he's a prisoner. But I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. In other words, this is not some out of the sky whim. This is not some just maybe or might be. But I want you to know, I have heard from the Lord. And the Lord said, if this is where you're supposed to be, and I know this is where I am supposed to be, don't jump ship. How many of us have missed the blessing of God because we jumped ship too soon? It got too tough. It got too hard. It got too discouraging. And we said, I can't do it. I can't make it. I lost some friends on the way. How many of us missed the blessing of God because we didn't stay in God's plan? Sermon over. This morning. No, it's not. But I just want you to know, I can stop there. Because I know in my life, if I were to give testimony, there are plenty of times that I missed the blessing of God because I got out too soon. It got too difficult and I didn't stick with it. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down, that's the skiffy, into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. The ship represents your life, your life, your life, and my life, and where God has me right now. And you see, that's my biggest job in life. I've got to find out where God wants me right now. God, where do you want me to be? Who do you want me to be with? What do you want me to do? Because when I find out, Lord, what you want me to do, I'm going to stick with it. I don't care what storm comes. I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care how discouraging it gets. I am 100% in. I am going all the way through. A little girl went to her mother and she said, Mommy, every night I keep falling out of the bed. Every night I fall down out of the bed and I hurt myself. She said, well, why are you doing that? She said, I don't know. And so finally, the mother says to herself, I'm going to watch you, Dad. She said, I'm going to watch you. I'm going to put up one of those little video things over your bed, see what's going on. And sure enough, about midnight, she falls out of the bed. The mother goes to her daughter and she says, I know the problem. I see the problem. The daughter said, why am I falling out of bed? She said, you never get all the way in. Your problem is you're sleeping at the edge of the bed. You see, this is how it is with God. That if we want the full blessing of God, then we've got to get all the way in. We can't live on the edge. We can't live with one foot in and one foot out. Cheryl and I both, that's my wife, we didn't have a model for marriage, Isaiah. We didn't have a model, but both of us came from broken homes. And so there was no way in the world we would know how to have a healthy marriage, a whole marriage, because we'd never seen one, never experienced one. But one of the things the church did for us and the Word of God did for us, it taught us how to have a healthy marriage. And two things came out of having a healthy marriage. And it's where Paul says in Ephesians 5, you know, the part where he talks about marriage going further, 21 and further. He says, men, love your wife. But she gets me mad. Love your wife. But Lord, sometimes she gets me mad. Love your wife. And then he says, wives, respect your husband. But he don't earn my respect. Respect your husband. But Lord, I tell you what, he's sitting over there with his fat stomach rolling over his belt over there, and I can't take it no more. Respect your husband. Why do I do that? Because to be all the way in a marriage, I've got to learn what God says is true. Every man, what man in here does not want respect? Every man that doesn't want respect, raise your hand. Now, every man that wants respect, raise your hand. God has put respect inside of a man. That's why boys will kill one another when they get to be teenagers and they say, well, he disrespected me or he looked at me the wrong way. Women that are married, Maria. How many of you women in here want to be loved more than anything else? Raise your hand. You look around you, what you see is that men need respect. That's their air hose, and women need love. So if I'm going to be all the way in a marriage, I've got to learn that no matter what, no matter what storms come, no matter what hardship comes, no matter what difficulties come, I got to still love you. If Cheryl was to say to me, I messed up $100,000. I got to say to her, I'm gonna kill you. No. I gotta say to her, I still love you. Do y'all hear me? Because she needs love and I need respect. I'm not saying both of us don't need those things, but I'm just saying that God knew that I would need respect more. All I'm saying to you is that God says when I put you in a place and who I put you there with, you're going to have some storms. You're going to have some difficulties. You're going to have some hardships. Stay with the ship. 53 years of marriage has taught me, stay with the ship. Can I get a witness that you can do it? No matter if you feel like you're about to go to pieces, the whole place is about to blow up, you can make it if you stick with what God has told you to do. Number two, secure my lifelines. When I use this term lifelines here, I'm talking about your relationships more so with other people. That there is a tendency when you're going through a storm to close yourself off from people. In a marriage, when you're married and you're mad at your husband and your wife, sometimes you stop talking. And that's when you should be talking more. Am I making sense to you? Secure your lifeline. Don't cut yourself off from the very people that can help you. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Paul told them, don't get in that little lifeboat. Don't get in that skiffy. Don't try to get away from here. Because you see, if you stay with the boat, if you stay with the ship, there's where your salvation's going to come. There's where you're going to make it. The way you're going to make it is by staying with the ship. So cut off all of the things that will help you to get away. I never realized how true that was for marriage, because there's so many things people told me before I got married. You know, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Now they got their fish and they're telling you, you cut your fish. Y'all, you missed that, didn't you? And all right, let me put it in its context, the culture. There's plenty of fish in the sea. That means that if I cut my relationship with my spouse, there's plenty more out there. No, that's not true. There is not plenty more out there that God has for you. The person that God has for you, you've got to cut the lifeboats. You've got to cut the exit plans. You've got to cut the ways I'm going to get out of this and say that for God I live and for God I die. And if God has put me in this, I'm going to stick with you. Can I get a witness here? If you don't cut those lifeboats, then what you're going to do is you're going to get on one and you're going to miss your blessing. And he let it fall away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Could you imagine that? 2 weeks now. I don't know if they were fasting or what, or maybe because of the storm, they were just trying to do so much that they didn't eat anything. He says, now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. After he said this, he took some bread, he gave thanks to God, and in front of them all, then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. You imagine that. We got 276 people on board. There's a lot of grain there, Samuel. But they decided we're going to throw the grain off because if we lighten it, maybe it will allow us to maneuver the boat better. I want you to notice something. And I don't know how many prisoners there were on this boat because the story doesn't say so, but I imagine it was a good many of them. Let's say maybe there was a third. That they could have said, let's throw the prisoners over. In other words, we'll just say they were trying to escape. We'll lessen the boat weight and we'll get to safety. That's what they did during slavery here in the United States when they brought the ships from Africa. That many times they run into a storm and they would throw the slaves into the sea. Some of the sharks learned those routes and they would follow those ships because they knew sooner or later they were going to be throwing people into the sea. So what are we saying here? Because Paul says, don't throw anybody, that we're all going to make it. Not even a hair will be lost. That people are more important than things. Can I get a witness? If you want to make it through tough times, if you want to make it through discouraging times, if you want to make it through storms, then you have to keep relationships. You have to make relationships stronger. You don't cut relationships. You make relationships when times are difficult. Can I get a witness? You don't throw the people overboard. Now, I would say this. Some of the very people that we might want to get rid of in our lives could be the very people that God's going to help you with later on down the road. So be careful about however you look at people. But there may be some things we need to get rid of. There are some things that Christians need to get rid of, but there seldom are people, friends. Sometimes we have too much. Does that look like your closet? Now, I didn't look in your closet and take that picture, but, and that's not Cheryl's closet either, but we do have a lot of shoes. Sometimes we just have so much food, we just stop washing the dishes. We need a clutter fairy to come, and clutter fairy says, I need a bigger wand for this problem. Son, someday all this will be yours. And he looks at it and he probably says, I don't want that junk. You know, there are some things that do keep us from doing what we're supposed to do. Am I right about it? I mean, we do have a lot of clutter. And I'm saying, yeah, we should get rid of that stuff. But don't get rid of the people. And especially the people that have been with you, especially the people that have fellowshiped you, especially the people who have gone through the tough times with you. Get rid of the clutter, but don't get rid of your ships. What kind of ships do you need to keep? Your fellowship, your relationships, your friendship. Am I making sense? Your leadership. Don't get rid of the people that will help you to get to the next place that God has for you to go. Number three, settle for peace and not peace. They sound alike, don't they? P-I-E-C-E. But one is not P-I, but P-E. A-C-E, peace. I told you this the other week, that in the Old Testament, people would see one another and they would say shalom, which was the word peace, when they weren't fighting one another. And in the New Testament, which is where we are, they would say irene, which means I've got peace on the inside. I can't promise you peace on the outside. I can't promise you there are not going to be some disturbances and fights that are going to go on, even in your own life. But I can say this, you can make it through the deepest storm because of the peace you have on the inside. I have seen people who have had cancer. I have seen people with leukemia. I have seen people who have had all kinds of storms in their lives, and they're still singing Amazing Grace. And God bless our Lord Jesus Christ. God will make a way somehow. How can they do it? Because they have the P-E-A-C-E and not just the P-I-E-C-E. Yes, we need a peace. But we need peace more than we need peace. P-I-E-C-E. Remember, God told, the angel told Paul, don't jump the ship. Stay with the ship. The ship is going to break up. The ship is going to be in many pieces, but don't remove yourself from the ship. That's how you're going to make it. When daylight came, they did not recognize land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made it for the beach. In other words, they were going to ram that ship into the beach, and so therefore everybody could get off. But the ship, there's always a but, isn't there? I'm going to do this. And matter of fact, the angel even told Paul that you were going to have to run this ship aground. But nobody said anything about the sandbar. A sandbar is land that's under the water that you don't see. And that ship hit that sandbar and it stuck fast and it would not move. And the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. Now, I want you to imagine this for a moment. You're on a ship that's big enough to hold 276 people. So that's a pretty good sized ship. And now that ship is breaking up and you're on it. You're on the ship and it's turning from a ship, a hole, into a bunch of pieces. The soldiers plan to kill the prisoners. Now they're ready to kill the people to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping because they know that they would have been responsible. But the centurion, his name was Julius, wanted to spare Paul's life, and he kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. Now, you have to understand, these were people that lived near the sea. They knew how to swim. People grew up swimming. So there wasn't anybody that didn't know how to swim. He's primarily talking about the prisoners who are in chains. All of them, they couldn't swim because they were all chained up. But he says, look, those who could swim, the sailors and the soldiers, you get out first and you make it to land. The rest were to get there. Look at this word. On the planks. Do you see it, Pedro? On the pieces. In other words, what did God tell Paul? Stay on the ship. He never said the ship was still going to be a big boat. He never said that the ship was going to be all in one piece. Isn't that the same way it is with our lives? Sometimes we don't even recognize what's going on. Sometimes we don't even recognize our church. Sometimes we don't even recognize our marriages. Sometimes we don't even recognize our relationship. But God says, stay on the ship. It may be just a little piece. It may be just a little smite of what you had before, but stay on it. In this way, everyone reached land in safety. Could you see the people that are chained up, but they're doing the dog paddle, making it to land safely? The Bible doesn't say this, but I got a feeling because I know how we are as human beings. When they got to land, I bet you all those prisoners, they held up their piece of the plank and they said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a trophy out of mine. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put mine on the wall. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it somewhere where I can always see it so I can have it to remind me of how I made it over. But I got a feeling that when Paul's turn came to give his testimony, Paul said, don't put your faith in the planks. Don't put your faith in the pieces, but put your faith in the Prince of Peace. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Put your faith in Jesus. That's who I had my faith in. Well, this whole trip, I thank him for the plank. I thank him for the peace of the ship. But more so than that, I thank him for the peace that surpasses all understanding. 276 people. I got a feeling that ship broke up into 276 pieces. Everybody had their own peace. But the real peace is not the ship. Y'all hear me? You hear me, Z? The real peace is Jesus. Can I get a witness? That's right. You can give him a hand clap on that. That's the real peace. That's the real peace. It's not my money. It's not my house. It's not even my marriage. Cheryl would not want me to make her my God. And I don't want her to make me her God. There is only one God, and his name is Jesus. And he will carry you through. Can I get a witness? Making it on broken pieces. Stay with the ship. Secure your lifeline. Don't start cutting away people. You need people to encourage you. You need people. You need friendship. You need fellowship. And if you're married, let your difficulties bring you closer. Hey, I've been a pastor for a long time, and I've had couples sit in my office and say, you know, I don't want to talk to her. And she'll say, I don't want to talk to him. And I say, somebody need to talk to somebody. Because if you're going to make it, you're going to have to start communicating with each other. Don't cut the lines that are going to help you to make it. Don't just settle for peace. But settle for peace. My anchor holds to the solid rock. And that solid rock is who? Amen. Let's give him a great big hand clap. Yeah. Somebody in here, this message was for you. And let me tell you how to respond. Not because I say it, because the word says it. You're just holding on. You're just making it. You're dog paddling. But you're tired. I'm saying this is where Jesus does his best work. This is where God comes in and he does his best work. When you're about to give up. When you can't go any further. I'm saying to you, let's try God. Stay with the ship. Let's try God. Keep those relationships. Don't cut the relationships. Let's try God and accept peace, P-E-A-C-E, versus just a peace. I'm going to ask our ministers of music if they will come. I'm going to ask our counselors if they will come. And I'm going to ask you to respond to the word of God. My anchor holds to the solid rock. And that solid rock is Jesus. Won't you stand?